The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a 21st century order of drag nuns, essentially. They started in San Francisco in 1979. So they started in San Francisco and became kind of like a face for, protest and fighting for queer rights and visibility. The Sisters were the first organization to put forth a pretty big like fundraiser for like HIV awareness and education and such, and that's been one of our biggest missions since the 80s is awareness for STIs and such.
Season. Welcome to A Cosmic Journey,
the comedy podcast about science and spirituality, where we discuss everything in the universe from the physical
to the metaphysical. I'm Demi Wilde.
And I am Jay Maceo.
We'll eventually get that intro.
Yeah. No, I think we got it. We nailed it this time. We're going to talk about some stuff this week. Like this week, we've got cosmic news stories like how a man from Utah is facing prison for desecrating a cemetery while searching for buried treasure. Mm.
Or how the Pentagon quietly gave away millions of internet IP addresses to a mysterious company in Florida.
Or on our YouTube channel Monday, you can see or catch, see and catch, you can do both of them, cosmic news in video format. And on Wednesday, you can catch my cosmic insights where I'll be talking about how to feed the new you. So be sure to subscribe.
Be sure. Yeah. Also, later on in the show, we take a deep dive into a black hole.
Ka-splash!
To chat with my favorite bearded drag queen from Seattle, the Bearded Lady J.
Hey!
How has this week been? We just got back from Palm Springs a week
ago. Oh my God, yes. I have to talk about this because, okay, so Demi invited me. You invited me. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling you Demi to those out there. Yep, yep. We understand this. So, to Palm Springs, and immediately I'm thinking of ways to say no. Not that I had anything to do. It's just like, you know, in I don't know if your brain gets like this, so stuck in what I'm going to do, and I don't want any change or anything. And I had such a good time in Palm Springs.
Yeah, it was great having you.
Oh, my God. It was so great. And Jamal, oh, my God. Jamal, your friend, is now my friend, is so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool to just have, like, a boys' weekend. And
yes.
And, you know, we just all, we met some really interesting people.
We did.
Like that drunk girl at the bar.
Oh, my God. And I've been, like, looking at her stuff online. It was weird. Now, we were talking about this, that I had a... my dad's cousin was a pro ball player back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that Jamal is actually named after my dad's cousin. So that was like such a cool thing.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Shout out Jamal.
Shout out.
We had a good time.
Yes.
You know what? I've been on a healing journey. I started my therapy this week.
Ooh.
I started back at therapy. It took a while to even find a right therapist to like, you know, it's kind of like dating a little bit. You have to like really feel out the people, and then it might not work out. And then this, but I have a good feeling about this one.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. This is me.
Sleepy with my therapist.
Oh, that's just me. I'm sorry.
You sleep with your therapist?
We have different standards. Yeah, don't judge me.
True.
Comfort me.
But anyways, so I have a good feeling about this. I go up again next Friday. And then I had a healing session.
Ooh.
With a new friend of mine. He gave me kind of like a Reiki massage thing, and it was non-sexual, obviously.
Do they touch you in Reiki massage?
They do not, but it was a two-part.
I'm gonna pay you not to touch me.
Yeah, it was a two-part.
I'm giving you a Reiki massage right now. You owe me $60. Sorry.
I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
I've had Reiki before, and it was good, but he started off with kind of like a little kind of like a little conference or like a little like emotional get to know you type thing. And then he kind of like did the energy work and then he did like an actual massage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's really interesting. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I also am back in therapy, which I really dig. I'm just going to, you know, share this thing that my therapist, the session before last, we meet on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. he suggested, I was like anti me going to therapy, not anti therapy, but anti me going to therapy mm-hmm. for a long time because I was like, I'm going to stay in the problem and not be in the solution enough, blah, blah, blah. Right. But the week before last, he gave me like a practical little lesson where he said, try this when you have those type of thoughts or like negative thoughts or anything. Don't just think them, but write them down. Mm-hmm. So I wrote them down the week before and last week or this past Tuesday, we just sat down and we went over all the things that I think in my head. And instead of being in my head, they were out on a piece of paper so I can really take a look at my thinking. And it's just very awesome. I mean, things have been going well. I got a slight, even though it's commission, I got a slight promotion and some big props.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's just on my commission level, even though everything's straight commission. I get a bigger percentage now. Wow. So I got a big prop from a lot of people at on the day job. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps when you actually like write out your thoughts and stuff. Cause mm-hmm. then you can go back and you revisit what that is like, wow, what was I thinking then? Cause otherwise it kind of like just goes to the back of the brain and doesn't really like, you know, it's gone now.
Yeah.
And once you get to know like how your brain kind of works and stuff, it helps you understand a little bit better.
Yeah. And I was so honest with thinking patterns, even things that sound like, oh, and I put down, I believe, blah, blah, blah. Even though I don't cognitively believe some of these things, some of these things in my head are like, sometimes I think, and I won't tell you all because you're not my therapist and I'm not going to pay you all. I'm kidding. I would pay some of you.
Right. Number one, I wanted to issue a little bit of an apology before we get into the other stuff. Last week, we had some terrible audio issues videos. On the podcast, it wasn't bad the second half, like during the interview. And then when we switched to GarageBand, mm-hmm. no issues whatsoever. But for some reason, Zoom had issues with the setup that we had. So mm-hmm. I'm sorry about that. Those videos were terrible. And it was a terrible for me even editing them because I was like, oh, this is so bad. I don't want to put this out. But
we're doing better now.
But we're better now. We figured it out. So yes, thank you again for that. But I wanted to talk about this really quickly. But have you like Billie Eilish?
Yes. And her brother. I love Phineas. I'm a big Phineas fan.
Oh, right, you are. So she put out these new photos mm-hmm. from I think British Vogue.
I've been seeing those on the Instagram. She looks
gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, like breathtaking. But it's such a shock because she's, you know, used to, you know, she's always been seen with like baggy clothes.
Demi straight now.
And I'm straight. But you know, it's just such a shock when someone who, you know, and she talks about being uncomfortable with her body and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and that's why she wears the baggy clothes. And
I didn't know that.
But these are like kind of a new thing for her, even like, you know, just like exploring her body a little bit more. It was her idea. They just basically said, hey, you know what? Do your thing.
Oh.
But yeah, like, have you seen them?
Yes, I've seen they're on Instagram. I keep scrolling. And I didn't know it was her at first until I read the little caption.
She looks like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm surprised. I didn't know that was her.
Yeah, stunning. But I saw a couple weeks ago where she actually like dyed her hair blonde again. She is a natural blonde, I believe. And she just dyed her hair black and green and stuff. But wow, I was completely shocked by that. And people were kind of mad that happened, that she was, they thought that they were forcing her to like wear this stuff, but
oh yeah, it's so weird. People, yeah, sometimes people get like they want to drag people for,
yeah,
people just need sometimes somebody to like focus negativity on,
right?
We are not about that life on this show.
Any new movies and TV shows, anything?
So I was watching, I was doing this thing that spiraled from the Vampire Diaries. And I was doing all this like, you knew that's all I was watching. I started watching Hannibal.
What?
Oh my God. Okay. So Such a smart show.
Yeah.
Very smart show. I'm not eating at anybody's house anymore. I don't trust food that I don't see. But it's, and it's funny. I've been posting a lot of quotes on Twitter, and, you know, posting them a lot of places. A lot of those quotes is things I've heard from that show. You just have a lot of, you know, great, like the Jim Morrison quote. Yeah. I didn't, I'd never heard that before, but I heard it from that show, and there's just so much. So that is such an awesome show. I think I saw the first season in like 2 days. So I'm on season two now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you got pretty far then.
Yeah. What about you?
I watched that QAnon documentary on HBO.
Oh, did they mention the pizza?
They briefly, obviously it's crap, but, it's really interesting. And I think I want to do a show when we don't have an interview on specifically on QAnon, because it's such an interesting topic. They're pretty sure that they revealed who it is. And since the election, he's not done anything. And so, you know, they kind of started this whole movement of like conspiracies and stuff that is really kind of unfounded and everything. But now
people getting killed.
Now people are getting killed, and they've actually caused a lot of, like, you know, real world ripples with that stuff. And it's just interesting how the internet has spilled over into the real world.
Yeah. Real world, true story.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, we're doing a little bit of a giveaway. So for our listeners, we have these.
Oh, that is for us.
No, not for us. Well, you get one.
Yes.
But we have these stickers, our limited edition stickers that I made. And it's just our logo. And we're going to give these away to listeners who rate and review us on Apple Podcasts specifically. And if you give us a 5-star review with a comment, and be a genuine comment, we'd really appreciate that. We will send you one of these for free. You don't have to pay for shipping or anything.
And you get a puppy.
And you get a puppy. you don't get a puppy. But you do get one of these stickers. And then we'll send it out to you for free. You don't have to pay for shipping or anything. But if you would like one of these stickers, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I'm very distracted. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a comment and screenshot it and send it to us either on Instagram or email, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would really appreciate that.
We sure would.
Shall we get into some news?
Yeah, let's do this.
Well, first, let's get into the astrology forecast.
Ooh.
So right now, we have a new moon. What day is this? Today's the 9th?
Mm-hmm. We're recording on the 8th.
8th. Okay, yeah. So in 3 days, on the 11th, on Monday?
Monday's the 10th.
Tuesday the 11th, we have a new moon in Taurus.
What?
So as with any new moon, now is time to set new goals, launch projects, and finish up ones we already had. New moon in Taurus adds a bit of practicality and flair to the mix as well, which can give an extra boost to bringing ideas into the physical realm. So a good use of this energy could be enjoying life's simple pleasures, physical activities, stopping and smelling the roses, reevaluate our relationship with money and possessions, dream up new ways of increasing our income, concentrate on beautifying and pampering our homes, gardens, and ourselves, or becoming aware of our personal needs, wants, and values.
Ooh.
So it's a lot of like introspective work, but also, you know, a little like beautifying of the space in ourselves. It's a good use of this. I'm a little parched.
I was about to say, you're drinking a lot of water, and I'm all about that life. I need to be more about that the last couple of days.
So I'm like, we also entered a Pluto retrograde. Did you hear about this?
Ooh, Pluto's all like going backwards, baby.
Yeah, going backwards. So Pluto in astrology is a god of underworld and represents death, rebirth, power, and control. So when it's moving forward, we experience things relating to these in the external. So a power struggle in the workplace, for example. But since it's going retrograde, we'll be experiencing them internally. So a lot of internal power struggles will be manifested and shown.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn is ruled by Saturn and presided over everything structured. religion, traditions, governments, businesses, as well as karma. So an ideal time to look at your internal belief system and flush out any negativity. This retrograde, lasting a little over 5 months, will have us looking at our personal power, our issues with control, and our shadows.
5 months.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
A lot of retrograding.
Mm-hmm. Make use of this time and cut out some bad habits, work out control issues, let go of toxic people, and take time for your own psychological well-being. I, for one, am doing a lot of this myself.
Yeah.
Starting therapy and just trying to get back into touch with my inner self.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes a toxic person is a toxic part of us that we need to let go of.
Oh, totally.
A lot of times, yeah, we need to like let go of toxic.
Toxic.
That's a new word. We invented it right here in this show, Demi and Jay. But no, like the toxic habits and characteristics within ourselves.
I heard them described as psychic habits, things that we do unconsciously.
Oh,
yeah.
Up in your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jupiter in Pisces on 5/13. So Jupiter acts as a magnifying glass and showers luck on whatever it is affecting. And in this case, it is in the sign of Pisces. So Pisces is in the sign of boundless connectivity, of dreams, and of spirit. So Jupiter will be here to and will elevate all of these things and allow for growth and learning in all these areas. So this is the start of a 2-month spiritual journey where we will be called to expand our hearts, explore our fantasies, and dream up where we want to be in the future. And this would be a good time to start a vision board, journal your goals, or do some deep introspection with yourself. Again, a little bit more of that shadow work, but a little bit more kind of like planning and really just kind of like setting goals and dreaming a little bit more. Mercury in Gemini, we had this past week. So Mercury enters a sign it feels right at home in Gemini.
Yay, both, Gemini!
Both of our signs ruling planet, which means our minds will be extra engaged during this time. Gemini placements will feel this effect much more than most, and check your houses to see where Gemini is in your chart for your more insight. Mm-hmm. So ideas will come easily, communication will be enhanced, and our expression will be clearer, albeit maybe a little bit scattered. Venus in Gemini also. So Venus in Gemini bestows a layer of charm on all of us and elevates our creativity, learning, and communication. We have the gift of gab more than usual, and our ideas will be bubbling over. And this can also be an opportune moment to speak up about our feelings if you need to at work, with trusted friends, close family, or even a therapist.
Therapist.
Again, a lot of that communication style will be a little bit more loving. You know, we might even want to fall in love. You know.
I hope so.
A little bit.
I hope. Oh, from your lips to the universe's ears.
Right. So let's do a little tarot reading.
See what the
Uncle Snappy is here.
Damn it, Tara. Ooh,
hello.
What you reading?
Science. Ooh. Okay. So science speaks to ideas. It speaks to communication. It also speaks to, technical things. A lot of intuitive. It really just needs to like getting to the root of things and trying to understand things a lot better. Mm-hmm. A lot of like, especially if you're doing shadow work, for example,
mm-hmm.
Getting to the root of the problem, because the problem itself is really more of a symptom. If you're doing shadow work, understand the underlying causes of it. And that's essentially what science does. It's, you know, it's understanding things from a baseline level. And once you understand, once you're more aware, it's easier to work with.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't know, now you know, baby.
Now you know.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm being so. I'm extra today. I like being extra. So cosmic news. So this news comes out of Florida. I don't know. I love saying Florida. Florida. This Key and Peele skit. So a Florida company takes over a slice, not a pizza, but of the Pentagon's internet space.
Yeah. Big slice.
A big ass slice. So an obscure company in South Florida, SoFlo as they call it, announced that it would begin managing a massive account a massive amount of IP addresses previously owned by the U.S. military. Now, the company Global Resource Systems, LLC, has seized about 175 million IP addresses, amounting to almost 6% of the usable internet addresses, and would be worth about a couple billion dollars.
Right.
So here's a little backstory. An internet protocol IP address is a unique series of numbers that identifies the connection on the internet, like your, you know, 192.192.whatever. So those numbers, it determines how the internet knows you and finds you by devices and connects you to different sites that you request. Mm-hmm. Now, Global Resource Systems, their office is located in Plantation, Florida. I don't like that. and was it too soon? Was chosen to gatekeep the IP addresses, but little is known about the mysterious company otherwise. It was founded, this is kind of crazy, just recently, in September 2020, and has no reported contracts or no obvious website, and its offices are in a shared workspace outside of Fort Lauderdale, and its name doesn't even appear on the lobby's directory. The only announcement of the switch came from Border Gateway Patrol Protocol, rather, messages telling network administrators that long-term dormant IP addresses assigned to the Pentagon would now accept traffic. Now, Brett Goldstein, who is the director of the Pentagon unit, of a specific Pentagon unit called the Defense Digital Service, he said that his team authorized the IP addresses as a pilot effort to improve cybersecurity and could provide information on how malicious actors operate on the web, offering a glimpse of the weakness within the system. But it still leaves a question as to why an anonymous company from Florida is now in charge of one of the largest pieces of internet real estate in history, mm-hmm. with little explanation from any officials.
Now, we brought this up last weekend, and Jamal, who's actually an IT professional, and kind of explained this a little bit more to us, because mm-hmm. I had it made no sense to me. It was just gibberish, pretty much. But he basically said, he's like, yeah, I'm like it kind of makes sense, but the Pentagon has, you know, unlimited resources to do these things. Why do they need these IP addresses to do that? You know, mm-hmm. they could do that. They could run systems tests and everything like nothing. They don't mm-hmm. need all these things. And especially, why give it to a random company that just started in September?
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's another piece of the government that doesn't want to operate as the government?
Probably.
Yeah,
I would say so. Like, especially because they didn't give any answers. They didn't give any questions. It's kind of, you know, it's mysterious. It's like,
They're like, how about the blah, blah, blah? The reporter's asking, like, fuck that. Next question.
Yeah. It's an obvious shell company.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, this is not a real company. So, questions. So we have some interesting, vaccine news that came. So the Moderna vaccine actually has led to potential HIV breakthrough.
Oh,
so the creation of the COVID vaccine set records not only due to the speed in which it was created, but also led to breakthroughs for other innovations such as the potential HIV vaccine. Moderna perfected its mRNA technology over decades, and now that same technology will be used further, leading to possible breakthroughs in vaccines for HIV, seasonal influenza, Zika virus, Epstein-Barr virus, among others. I think in total there was like 9 different diseases that could have been, that could be potentially.
Well, I think I had Epstein-Barr. Like,
did you?
I think so, when I was like 28.
What is that exactly?
It's like some autoimmune stuff. It's the Epstein-Barr is a virus that causes mononucleosis.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I wasn't kissing anybody back then. Oh. And what happened was it's weird. I became like really sick for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I could only lie down. I'm not a snorer, but I snored. Just every time I slept loudly, I slept. I would snore. How would you know? You're asleep. But it was just and my body was aching. It was just a horrible, horrible time. Mm. So you don't want that Epstein-Barr.
You know. So the new developments could potentially bypass the process of generating the protein fragments needed to make such vaccines in a lab, which is both expensive and time-consuming. Moderna's long-term goal is to show that mRNA-based vaccine can produce broadly neutralizing antibodies, a type of immune response that researchers believe will be protective against HIV. Although there is a buzz around the prospect, there are some caveats, as researchers are unsure if the vaccines in question will be safe for human inoculation or how effective it will be.
Mm.
But the testing will be, Moderna will be testing two HIV vaccine candidates in humans by the end of 2021. So time will tell if the vaccines are safe and effective.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that wild?
That is. Moderna, sound like a drag queen.
Yep.
Hey, Moderna.
Did you ever see that? Did you ever see that meme of like the Madonna Confessions album cover? That it's her, but she's, you know, doing that glamorous thing with her arm out. And she got like the random nurse with the needle going in. And it's, instead of saying Madonna, it says Moderna.
No, but now I want to see that.
We'll show it during the break.
I want to see
it's
that.
It's funny.
Well, there's some shape-shifting going on, some shifty characters.
Shifty.
So I want to talk about shape-shifting liquid metal and how it could revolutionize robotics. So back in 2017, way back, a scientist at the University of Sussex invented a way to morph liquid metal into 2D shapes by using electricity. Mm. Now, the same year, that's sexy to you, electricity, huh? Electricity. That same year, research engineers at Carnegie Mellon University created a metal alloy that exists in a liquid state at room temperature. Now, created at the Soft Machines Lab, researchers said that this alloy is the result of a combination of iridium and gallium. Two things.
two things.
I was about to say elements.
Chemistry. I never took chemistry. I'm not smart enough for that.
You are so smart. Why am I yelling?
I'm smarter in other ways. I just memorizing. Chemicals thing, yeah.
No. Yeah, well, memorize that shit. but this metal can be used in many electrical equipments, as it would only take two drops to form or break a circuit, similar to a traditional transistor, and it only requires a voltage of 1 to 10 volts. So
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Because the electric fields are programmed by a computer, the position and shape of the liquid also can be programmed and controlled. So in early 2020, a team of researchers out in China, created another liquid metal material so light that it can float on water. And they believe it could actually be used to construct lightweight exoskeletons and shape-shifting robots. Shape-shifting robots in the house.
Shape-shifting robots.
I want to say that five times fast. But the innovations combined with other interesting glimpses on the use of liquid metal when it comes to robotics reminds me of the Terminator. Now, we on New Year's watched Terminator.
Finally.
Which it's like some of the effects are so dated. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But if you saw Terminator 2, you haven't seen that yet, have you?
No.
There is this guy. He's a new Terminator. I won't give away too much, but he's made out of shape shifting liquid.
Yeah,
so he can turn. You probably have seen this. So.
I've seen glimpses of it. Yeah.
But he's a badass. Terminator 2, hands down, the best of the Terminator movies.
Terminator has always been a piece of the show, I would say. Like from episode one, I think we started talking about Terminator.
Skynet.
And now we're getting closer and closer to actually living in that reality.
We are. What were you talking about that you were saying that who was that said Dr. Neil Tyson Degrassi was talking about if we keep if technology keeps going at the rate that it's going now, that it's just going to blow up.
I mean, it's going to overtake. Yeah.
In the next couple of years, it's scary to see what will happen. I mean, it'll likely it'll take decades before we see like shape shifting floating robots or self repairing circuits in our daily lives. But the future certainly seems imminent.
Mm-hmm. And Skynet.
Yeah, Skynet. And why? Because Skynet. That's why. Damn it.
I found this really interesting story about the guy who went grave digging in Yellowstone. So a man in Utah is facing prison time over digging up graves in Yellowstone National Park back in 2020 in pursuit of a legendary treasure.
Wait a second. I didn't know that the people were buried in Yellowstone National Park.
In a part of it. Yeah. There is an actual grave site there. Yeah.
It's buried him in a park.
Mm-hmm. Roderick Dow Craythorne, who lives in Syracuse, Utah, pled guilty to charges of excavating or trafficking in archaeological resources and injury or depredation to United States property. The 52-year-old was apparently digging up parts of Fort Yellowstone Cemetery between October 2019 and May 2020 while seeking Forrest Fenn's long-sought-after $2 million treasure.
Mm.
Forrest Fenn was an art dealer and author from New Mexico who had love for the great outdoors. He notoriously buried a bronze treasure chest filled with gold and precious items somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, and the internet has been captivated with finding it ever since. Fenn left clues to the treasure via a poem he included in his memoir, The Thrill of the Chase. The search for the treasure has been attempted by dozens of people, and at least five of whom have died while searching.
Damn.
Ironically, Fenn confirmed on a blog that the treasure chest was found in June 2020 by Michigan resident Jack Stuiff, NPR reported. Fenn himself died last September at the age of 90.
Wow. Oh.
So actually, they found it after the guy was looking for it.
Oh. In the same park?
In the same area, yeah.
I always want to call it Jellystone Park.
Jellystone. So unfortunately for Craythorne, all that digging didn't pay off. Craythorne is now facing 12 years in prison and fines up to $270,000.
Now, if he had that gold, he'd be able to buy himself out of, pay the fine.
Bail himself out.
I'm bailing myself out. What? I'm buying them robots.
I do want to find out where it was actually found.
He could pay a shape-shifting robot to turn into a key. And then, like,
to turn a key.
Yeah, to turn the key and open. I'm heading out of here. And then he get like, gets a guard. You know,
back east. So
this whole scenario is playing through my head, and it's right. Very, very entertaining and a little scary up here.
Paris Wallace, a pastor from the Grand, was found after he went. Oh,
we're looking for the people who died.
That's a death. Yeah.
Yeah. People are dying now who ain't ever died before.
He basically just wanted to get people to get off their couches.
Oh.
North of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Okay. The chest was reportedly filled with everything from old treasure and love, including gold coins, gold nuggets, gems like sapphires and diamonds, and pre-Columbian artifacts. So legit, legit treasure. According to the New York Times, the items in the chest were reported $2 million.
Jeez.
Oh, it's just anonymous. Yeah. They don't know. They don't know who did it.
Who done it?
But they found out that they did find it.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow. No one to find out about this. Well,
sorry. What was his name? Roderick Dow Craythorne.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. RDC.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving him acronyms or initials. So let's talk about the Pentagon. One more. Let's bring it back.
Let's do it.
Bring it back to the Pentagon.
Government issues abound.
They confirm some WAP. Oh.
WAP.
Sorry, I had to. So they did. We talk about UAPs here a lot, which are it's a new term for UFOs, unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pentagon, not Pentagon, con. This is suggested by Fran Lyon. Yeah, that's a con on your mind, man. This is suggested by Fran Lyon. So thank you, friend of the show and a previous guest of the show. So the Pentagon confirms that leaked photo of a UAP is real. So a series of newly surfaced images of identified flying objects filmed by the U.S. Navy has now been confirmed as authentic by the Pentagon. Dun, 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 dun. The newly surfaced sightings sourced by filmmaker Jerry Corbell and reporter George Knapp include footage of a mysterious pyramid-shaped craft observed flying through the air, along with images of three other strange objects, one of which appears to have been shared last year. Now, while nobody knows for sure just what these enigmatic visions really are, the Pentagon has at least confirmed that these images are genuine and authentic photography and footage of UAPs captured by the U.S. Navy. So that much is true. Now, while they corroborate the authenticity of the imagery, the U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, hasn't clarified anything other than that, remaining tight-lipped about what, if anything, in their investigations of these strange objects might have upturned. Now, while the video of the incident only clearly shows one of the triangular looking objects said to be hovering about 700 feet above the vessel, an account of the episode describes three purported unidentified vehicles flying a swarm above the ship. I wonder,
interesting that they use vehicles.
Right. I'm thinking it was one of Tesla.
Yeah.
Because one of those got sent out into space and they
Elon.
Might just, yeah. Elon, bring it back. I mean, they might just be bringing it back. You know, like when you leave your car somewhere and somebody brings it back. In another sighting, a spherical vehicle, there is again, of some sort, was observed by a crew aboard the USS Omaha flying into the ocean and disappearing in the water.
Kasplash.
Kasplash, indeed. Now that the Pentagon confirms that, now, when pressed by intelligence website, the Black Vault, we've shared some of the Black Vault stuff on here before, as well as whether these UAPs were still categorized as unidentified, one of the spokesmen only offered, "I have nothing further for you beyond what I have provided." No more questions. While there's still many questions about these strange unidentified phenomena, the newly leaked information does at least provide evidence that the DoD continues to investigate and treat UAPs as a serious subject. So, side note, this month marks the end of the 6-month period before the U.S. government has to divulge all of the documents it has on UFOs and UAPs, thanks to this Frankenstein COVID bill. Remember back in December that was passed? It was tucked into the COVID bill. So stay tuned for information from the Black Vault for more or from us. Stay tuned.
You know, what was the day that it passed? 21st? So May 21st?
I want to say the 26th or 28th.
Yeah, it's like the end of the month.
Wait, Christmas was on a Friday, 26th, 27th, 28th was the Monday. Yeah.
How do you know that?
What? It was on a Friday.
You always, your memory always astounds me.
Yes.
All right. So last one that we have for you today, we have a DC energy attack.
DC?
So this is kind of interesting. So federal agencies are investigating at least two possible incidents on U.S. soil that appear to be mysterious, invisible attacks against personnel. These strange attacks have led to debilitating symptoms for dozens of U.S. personnel abroad and includes a varying set of complaints that includes ear popping, vertigo, pounding headaches, and nausea, sometimes accompanied by the unidentified piercing directional noise. Some personnel have been seriously injured from the alleged attacks also, with at least one CIA officer forced to retire last year and diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury. Those sick and reported similar symptoms to Havana syndrome, which refers to unexplained symptoms that the U.S. personnel visiting Cuba began experiencing in late 2016. Although there is no consensus of what causes the symptoms exactly, the National Academy of Sciences found that directed pulsated radio frequency energy was the most likely cause of the strange set of symptoms and could be the result of microwave energy attacks. Lay down. Oh my God. Chill out.
You know what's fun? When you're trying to get him to stay still, it reminds me. You ever see somebody who beat their kids in the middle of a podcast? All of one second, I thought I told y'all's ass not to.
He does listen to lay down, but he's just antsy right
he
now.
Did it right away, just because he was like near my foot, and he went down on my foot.
He's antsy right now.
I mean, not went down on my foot. That would be kind of weird.
And now he's choking. The joys of children. defense officials who briefed lawmakers said it was possible Russia was behind the attacks, but they did not have enough information to say for sure. Another former U.S. official involved in the investigation at one time said China was also among the suspects. So this is interesting because I wanted to remember last summer.
Yes.
When we heard all those booming noises.
I know what you're talking about. It was around the 4th of July. I didn't hear them
before then,
but everybody else heard them and was speaking about them. Actually, in your neighborhood, they were
all over.
I think when I was in your old neighborhood, I think when I was there, I think I did hear them then because it was around, it was around the George Floyd thing.
And they always started at a certain time, like around 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And they would go until like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It was just loud booming noises and stuff. I don't think they're related. I'm just, conjecturizing, but, it also read to me as if they were kind of like those directed energy attacks that could have been like sound based.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of military I read up on this a little bit, but there's a lot of like military projects that have been going on surrounding weaponized sound.
Oh, wow.
And weaponized energy and things like that. So
yeah,
this sounds like it could have been something like that.
Yeah. EMPs going off and stuff.
EMPs.
EMP.
And somebody, so one of the, I'm going to say the one CIA officer forced to retire last year and diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury from it.
Oh my goodness.
Just from a blast of the head with noise.
Jeez.
Crazy. Well, as usual, you can find links to all these articles in today's episode and on our show notes located on our website at acosmicjourneypod.com. If you're watching us on YouTube, thanks again for tuning in and be sure to like and subscribe to this video for more.
Yeah. Every week you can do that. And if you're listening to the podcast, stay tuned for Demi's interview with the bearded Lady J. Woo. Yeah.
Honey, this is, Sylvia calling you. I just wanted to say, I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm glad that you had your friend from Seattle on this week. You know, I really enjoyed you guys' talk, and I hope you guys are having a good day, and I hope you're having a good recording day, too. I know you're going to be really busy this weekend, but I just want to call and send some love. Uncle Snappy sends his love, too. He's out mowing the lawn. So I'm going to go down to the bodega and pick up some Pall Malls, and I'll just talk to you later. I love you. Bye.
All right, welcome to the show, Starseeds. I have a very special guest for you today. We have none other than the Bearded Lady J. She is an erotic artist. She is a Dungeons & Dragons enthusiast. And she is my original drag mother from Seattle. So, my dear friend, how are you? It's been so long.
I am well. It's wonderful to see your face again. Yeah. It is a reasonably sunny day in Seattle, so that means it's a good day because right. It doesn't happen a lot.
Any day that it's not raining and scary is a good day.
Exactly. We'll hope anyway.
Right. Well, if you are not familiar with the show, basically I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions and we'll get a little bit of your personal history and then we'll go into like what you do. So does that sound good?
Sounds delightful.
Awesome. So where did you grow up?
Around the Seattle area, I was born in Seattle and we moved around a lot. Like I was basically a military brat without having anything to do with the military, but mostly in like the smaller towns around Seattle. And then I did spend some time in, elementary in Alaska as well.
What part?
Interesting. What part? The town that I spent the most time in is called Skagway. And if you look at Alaska and there's the panhandle, it's right in the upper corner. I like to say it's the armpit.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty cool tourist town because it was like the seat of the gold rush back when there was gold to rush for.
Right.
But it's also just a really tiny town, like right in a corner somewhere. When I was younger, you couldn't drive to any other parts of Alaska. You could get into Canada during the summer. You couldn't get in there the winter because the passes were too closed or too snowy.
Too snowy. Yeah. I've had zero interest to ever go to Alaska in my entire life. So.
Like, it's pretty... but I also spent a year there when I was like 22 and as a kid, it was fine. Cause I just played a lot, but unless you're in a bigger town, it's so like everything is so far from each other that there's almost like an island mentality in the people. And that doesn't exactly support my, shall we say, other than standard lifestyle.
Right.
So, I don't want to go back there either. I love Seattle. It is home. Like, my early memories are, like, looking out of my grandmother's third floor, or not third floor, but like, you know, upstairs bedroom windows to see like Lake Union and the Space Needle and stuff. Like, this is home to me.
Yeah. I feel the opposite. So like I moved from California to LA, or like from LA to Seattle, and I was there in Seattle for like 6 years. And California has always been home. I've always been born and raised California. But just the doom and the gloom just began to be too much for me. So I'm like, I need the sunshine again. I need to be alive.
Yeah, I am. Like, I do love this city. It's my favorite place, but I will also, there's a little caveat to that. I hate rain. Like, I do not like getting wet when I'm like going to places. Like, I don't mind jumping in a lake and swimming, but when I'm going to work and I'm coming into work and like the top half of me is damp, ugh, I hate that.
There's just, but like, you know, a what? Like mist in Seattle all year long. You're just constantly.
Yeah.
What did you?
I will say the funny thing is global warming has been making our weather better, and right. That's both delightful and also awkward because it's, you know, global warming that's doing it. Yeah. But our summers have been a lot nicer, and it has not been as ridiculously wet. So. You know, for now, until we all die, it's been delightful.
Right. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, an actor. I'm not really sure when I decided that. Like, I don't even know if I ever thought of what I wanted to really be when I was little.
Yeah.
But at some point, before middle school, I decided I liked acting and singing. And yeah. I wanted to be like on stage. Which I sort of still am because I do drag sometimes.
Right. She's a gorgeous queen.
Oh, well, thank you.
I had the same exact kind of thing. Like when I was young, I wanted to be an actor. I was obsessed with movies and TV. And I did theater practically every year from seventh grade up through like senior year. And never really did anything with it. So doing drag was just like another kind of like avenue to kind of like express that part of myself, I guess.
It absolutely scratched that same itch. With me.
Yeah.
Well, when I came to Seattle, like when I was in high school, I was about an hour away from Seattle, but as soon as I basically could, I moved back into town. And I quickly realized that when you are on your own making money and working desperately, you don't have a lot of free time. And B, there was very, at least back then, there was very little musical theater in Seattle. It was all like experimental and like hipster stuff before hipster became what they are now. Like back then, hipster meant weird. And I'm not that weird. Like I'm weird in plenty of ways, but not that kind of like hardcore counterculture weird. It just didn't interest me. The only musicals that there was really were like the big shows coming through on tour, and they already had their casts.
Yeah.
So there wasn't anything for me to do for my performance set. So I was like, well, drag. I mean, fucking give me a microphone.
Let's throw on
and I'll sing my numbers. I don't have to look
all day.
Yeah, it works just fine for me. Hold on, I have to dab my eyes because I have a curse that they water constantly.
Oh. Why are you crying?
Such a son of a bitch in drag. I know, right? Every time I go out and drag, I have to bring like napkins stuffed into my bra so when nobody's looking, ah, laugh. Dab, 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 dab. Dab, dab. Because they just will water constantly.
To your family life. So like you grew up in the military. Like, what was that like? What was your family life like?
Not at all. It wasn't the military. It was just, it was like, I don't know if you know the term military brat. Yeah. And a lot of times military kids have to move because they're whoever's in the military or their parents gets rescheduled or what rescheduled reassigned. Yeah. I don't know words, whatever. No, we were just hippies. So we were the opposite of military.
Okay.
But we did the same thing. We were constantly moving. My mother and I sat down one day and figured out that we had moved 32 times before high school.
Oh my God.
Like
a lie.
I never graduated. Yeah, I know. I never graduated kindergarten. I graduated elementary twice. Mm-hmm. Just constantly from one spot to the next. Yeah, all over the city and all over the area. And then Alaska.
That's got to be hard for like a growing person. Cause like, I remember when I left elementary school, I was horribly bullied, first of all. But I ended up switching schools because of it. And I switched schools every year. And 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, my grandma got sick in 10th grade. So I left midway through the year, my sophomore year. And then I ended up staying at that last high school for the last 2 years. But that in itself was just like, you know, so stressful for like a kid. Like you can't acclimate at all. And you can't get those social skills that you need to like grow up and like have friends, you know?
It wasn't actually the same for me. A couple of factors. One, I have a stepbrother that has been like my brother since I was one. And he's only 6 months older than I am. So we're in like the same grade and stuff. And my sister is only 11 months younger than I am. So we were practically like triplets. And so wherever we went, the three of us were just constantly playing. I mean, when we were little, you know, yeah, you might have a friend, but again, we never stayed long enough for me to get like a long-term friend to lose. We were in Alaska for almost 5 years, but I hated Alaska. It wasn't home to me. Mm-hmm. So coming back to Seattle in 5th grade was great for me. I did have a best friend up there, and his family actually moved down to Seattle a year after we did. So I got to keep my best friend. Like, we're still friends now. And then, you know, middle school and high school were at the same place. And those were kind of the years where I really cemented. Well, I didn't cement really good friends until high school, but high school, I did get a few really great friends. And again, I'm still friends with those women today. So I guess I was kind of lucky in that respect. When I didn't need a lot of friends, I had my brother and my sister. And when I did need friends, we finally were staying in the one place.
Yeah. I was an only child, so I didn't have that luxury myself.
Well, and it's really weird because most people don't have siblings so close together. Like, sometimes you have close siblings, but me and my brother and sister are so close that we basically just were kind of the same, you know, general growing up moment. You know, there was no like, oh, your brother will babysit the little sister. No, it was just us three hellions together.
So what was your religious background like, and what's your relationship with your spirituality now?
So my family on my mom's side is Catholic for the most part. And it's actually pretty classic big Catholic family. Like, my mother has 10 brothers and sisters, and at this point, from my grandmother down, we are, I believe, like over 150 people. Mm-hmm. My father, or my stepfather, who is my dad, his parents, I think, had been Mormon, but I never saw them like go to a church or anything when I was young. So I don't know if they just like stopped believing or what. I never asked them because I wasn't close to them. But my mom's family was Catholic, and we were sort of raised Catholic. I went through like catechism and the things that you do as a kid. Mm-hmm. But she was a big old hippie, and my dad didn't really care. So they were never all that stringent tangent about it. Mm-hmm. We were not a like do your prayers before bed family. And I grew up always being interested in like fantasy and witches and everything like that. And I remember when I was 14, it must have been like a weekend or something. I was up in the middle of the night. Everybody else was asleep, but I couldn't sleep. So I went into the living room and started like flipping through channels to watch TV. And Sally Jesse Raphael was on. And I'm super gay, so of course I liked Sally. And so I was like, oh, what's this? And there was all these people in like long, loose, robey-like clothing and dark colors and full beards and exotic makeup. And I was like, what is going on? And it was a show about Wiccans and paganism. And I was like 14 and I'm like, what is this? What are they talking about? And they were basically talking about how, you know, for people, if you believe, magic can be very real. Oh, and I was like, what? That's everything I've dreamed of. And in fact, there was even it was really cool. They did an on-air intro. I don't even remember what, but like bringing a young girl who was probably around my age fully into their coven and mm-hmm. doing some sort of like ritual and stuff. And that opened up that whole aspect of neo-paganism for me. It just fit. It just made a lot of sense. We had already by then stopped doing anything Catholic. Like I think in middle school we had a bad experience at the local Catholic church that was the only one around, and my mom was like, we're not going there ever again, and she just didn't care anymore. And none of us were into it. My brother and my sister and I, none of us were all that into like the Bible and all that shit.
I'm surprised after, you know, that happened, that more people didn't leave the church.
Yeah. And I was just like, I was becoming a young, like an adolescent right around the time where it was becoming really, really public, just how bad things were. I luckily never experienced anything like that. I was glad that I was removed from it. And I was glad, like, I consider myself really lucky to not have been raised in a stringently religious household, because it allowed things like coming to, you know, terms with my sexuality and things like that to transition so much smoother and without like all of the like religious dogmatic guilt that can pile up on people.
Totally. So speaking of witches, as a person who identifies as a witch, do you have a consistent practice? And if so, what do you do?
I've always considered myself using the term kitchen witch. It can mean so many different things to so many different people. But for me, it just means like I don't necessarily need a lot of frou-frou or ritual. I just do things as they feel natural. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I do anything on the regular, but at the same time, I do constant things all the time, just, you know. So I would say it's my style of practice is a bit just kind of eclectic and what's the word I'm looking for? Organic, rather than defined.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, if you were to like look around my room, you would see necklaces, you would see my staff, you would see my rod. I have my magic wand right here that I made. One of the things that I do is I make mostly jewelry, but other things as well. Like I've made all of my like well, my staff and stuff, for myself. And so, and I'll make like, like jewelry of all kinds.
Oh.
That I just, you know, as I'm building it.
You're like a crafty witch.
I am a craft witch, absolutely. I like things. I'm a Virgo, so I have that like connection to materialism.
You were the one that told me about how Virgos are the Mary Poppins of the Zodiac. They're practically perfect in every way.
It's true. It's true. That is the Virgo, or at least that's what the Virgo will tell you.
That's actually woman next question.
Yeah, no.
What's the Zodiac sign?
But yep, how... I'm so Virgo too. I have so much Virgo in my chart.
Yeah. I'm a Virgo, but I have like shades of Aquarius and I'm a Libra rising. So I've got a lot of like air energy in me too.
I have mostly earth, and most of that earth is Virgo, and I have some water. I don't have much air or fire. I do. My moon sign is technically Leo, but it's only 2 minutes into Leo. And when I look for, like, delve further into, like, moon sign traits, I find, like, eventually I just decided I consider myself a Cancer Leo cusp moon because it connects with both of them in really defined ways. So I'm one of those super nerds about astrology.
No, yeah, me too. I mean, I'm still kind of learning a lot about it. And I actually give like an astrology forecast for the week that I kind of like piece together myself. And that's how I learn. And it's definitely very interesting. I don't know anything about like the minutes, about the degrees, anything like that. Cause there are certain things that you can pinpoint and get like super accurate information just like by finding out the degrees and like what that interacts with the other things around. It's nuts.
It's true. I also don't, I'm just not enough there. Like I consider myself a reasonably smart person when it comes to like the basics, but numbers and stuff are not my forte. So I can only get too defined. But I will say, I for the longest time, I didn't think of myself as knowing much. Like, I'm like, I know a few signs pretty well because there's a lot of them in my life, but I'm not that smart up on it. And then bringing into the topic of D&D that you mentioned earlier, right. A few years back, somebody on Tumblr, there was that period of time where everybody is like this thing as the signs or the signs as that thing. Mm-hmm. And somebody posted the signs as D&D classes. Ooh. And I'm like, and all they did was the sign and the class name. No explanation, just literally two words next to each other. And I look at it and I'm like, no. What? No. This is all.
I have no idea what D&D was.
Like, whoever did this clearly either didn't know the signs or was just stamping things together and not even trying. No. So I did the list again for what I believe. And then I also wrote, like, you know, a sentence or two about each as to why I chose those decisions. And by the end of the thing, I was like, I actually kind of do know the signs pretty well. And so I just kind of let myself pay more attention from there and see what where it would go. And so at this point, I've got them down pretty well. Yeah. And like, once you know a sign, if you say like your Mercury is in this sign, well, that's how you think, you know, your mental process. And if I know the sign, then I can tell you think like this or your Venus is this. So you love like this. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting to the point where like I understand the signs a little bit more like as time goes on. Right now I'm getting into the point of like aspects, like how they interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I basically kind of do on the forecast is like, okay, so the sun is squaring Uranus right now. So basically you're fucked.
Now forecast is something I've never even gotten into figuring that out. So I have no idea. Although I do, I'm pretty good with other types of divination, but astrological forecasts and horoscopes are not my thing.
My three main ones that I use is I use astrology, I use tarot, and I use numerology. And that's like a that's a good trifecta of like tools.
Absolutely. Yep. I enjoy numerology. I don't pay enough attention to it to be good at it yet, but I have a few books here and there that I can look things up as needed.
Right. So speaking of supernatural, what is the most bizarre or crazy supernatural experience you've ever had?
Oh, that's a good question. Most super bizarre. I'm not sure if there's been anything super bizarre for me. For me, a lot of the stuff that like gives me true faith is smaller things. I have a tendency to know something is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've like made predictions that are pretty eerily accurate in ways that I shouldn't know about. I always use this as an easy example. This was like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. Me and a couple of my friends that were all kind of like, we were in our like late teens, early 20s, and we're all like into paganism. And so we're all like, you know, oh, I'm this witch and I'm that witch. And we're all like connecting on our things. It was my drag mother, actually, your grandmother. and my best lesbian, who is also my drag sister, so your auntie, because it's all about the family, you know.
Right.
We were sitting at IHOP's on Madison at God only knows, like probably 2 o'clock in the morning, the middle of the night, drinking coffee and eating, you know, chicken strips. And my drag mother was like grilling me to like try my psychic powers and like tell me all about who her next boyfriend is going to be. And I was giving like this detail and that detail. And then there was kind of a lull in the moment. And my girl, Vanessa, was like, what about my next girlfriend? And I'm like, her name is Kate or Catherine. And actually, she's going to be soon, which was unusual because Vanessa didn't date often. And then out of nowhere, my drag mom's, okay, so when you say he'll be wearing a blue shirt, what do you mean? And it got just totally distracted. A month later was New Year's Eve, and we went to a party on a rooftop and had a bunch of fun. And one of our friends brought her new roommate who had just moved to Seattle 2 weeks before from Detroit.
Shut up.
And her name was Kate, short for Catherine.
Yeah.
And the next morning, like I was actually in the building that the party was going to be at. And my lesbian was, Vanessa was staying with me, except that she never made it back to the apartment. And the next morning she answers her phone and I'm like, where are you? And she's like, I'm at Kate's apartment. And I had totally forgotten about that night at IHOP. But Vanessa was like, bitch, you fully predicted this 100%. And I'm like, holy shit, I did. And like, how would I know? She lived in Detroit. Nobody knew her. She connected with our friend Jen when she moved here, after she moved to Seattle, through, I think, like, it wasn't even Craigslist, because I don't think Craigslist was around yet back then. Mm-hmm. But some, like, internet, like, find a roommate. Like, she did that here after the fact, after I had said that name at IHOP's.
Right.
That shouldn't have happened, but it did.
So when am I going to meet my boyfriend?
We're not getting into that. Because neither of those boyfriend or neither of those couplings worked out anyway. So it doesn't mean it's good.
Mine.
I will say the other one that was really direct, and I almost thought nobody was going to know that it happened. But I did one of those like gay boat cruises, you know what I'm talking about? Like the Pride cruise or whatever. I think it was the Pride cruise, in fact. But it was Seattle. So of course it was raining. And not only was it raining, it was pouring. No. And we were on the like sexy boat cruise with all the gay men. I was dressed as a in drag. And, you know, this, usually when you do that, and the weather is oftentimes nice, and everybody is half naked and getting liquored up and having a great time and dancing. Well, I mean, everybody was liquored up and having a good time, but it was cold because it was raining. We were out in the water, and there wasn't even any wind. It was just straight pelting, not even the mist. No, it was horribly raining. And I went to the back of the boat, and I was like, no, bitch, I want some good weather. Right. And I had done weather magic before. Mm-hmm. But usually the easiest way to get rid of rain is to make the wind blow the clouds away. Mm-hmm. But if the wind started blowing to blow really hard enough to blow all those clouds,
then we'd go
the wind would have been too cold.
Yeah.
And people would still not be having fun. So it's like, I want to get rid of the rain, but I don't want to start the wind. And so I just started like pointing to the clouds and kind of doing a little twirl and just like just to kind of like, I was trying to break them up.
Like you had your iPad and you were just erasing them.
yeah. Just like ping, spread away. Let the sunshine come through. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think, you know, I'm just in the bag and I'm just doing this. But my friend, who was also in drag, comes up next to me and is like, what are you doing? Are you casting spells? And I'm like, maybe. And then I shit you not, I can't believe it worked. Literally, the clouds started breaking up in little spots. No wind. Just clouds breaking. And then within a half hour, the clouds were gone. It was bright sun. It was like 80 degrees. Everybody was stripping out of their clothes and having a wonderful time. And my friend comes up to me and is like, you did that, didn't you? And I'm like, maybe. Because it's kind of extreme when the things are so exact, and you're like, I mean, I believe in magic, but that was big.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Yeah.
I'm glad you were there to do that, though, because there's nothing sadder than a wet drag queen.
I know, right? And our feathers. No, it's terrible. It's terrible. Now I have to blot my eyes because I'm laughing so hard I'm crying.
So speaking of drag, so okay, I think I've forgotten how this happened, because I've been adopted by two drag families. I was adopted by you first, and then I was adopted by Chrissy Champagne. So what do you remember how we met? What transpired? How did that happen? Because drag families traditionally, they're basically like, whoever paints your face, that's your drag mother. No one's ever painted my face.
Yeah, and I'm not always the best at painting faces anyway. Like, I'm pretty good with my own makeup, but I've been doing my own face for 20 years. I don't have almost any experience putting makeup on other people. So it's not something I usually, like, suggest, like, ooh, I'll come paint your face. You might do better on your own. But,
I do not remember this at all.
I can't remember if I was in drag or not, but I do remember how it happened. And I'm pretty sure it's because of Donatella Howe.
Okay, yeah.
I think Donatella Howe introduced us.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it was at Baltic Room.
Yes.
And I remember her, for whatever reason, thinking that we would connect easily. And I think she knew that you were interested in drag, mm-hmm. and was like, well, I'll introduce her to my drag mama.
Right.
And so that's how we met, literally. And so we started with the conversation of drag. And I just thought you were adorable from the get-go. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'll have another drag baby. I've only got 73,000 already. I'm a fertile fucking bitch.
And it just makes sense that it would be a Baltic Room. So,
yeah.
Of course, it was funk. Of course I would walk up to the drag queen and be like, I want to do drag. Will you be my drag mother?
I was like, yeah, absolutely. Fuck it. It doesn't hurt that you were a cute little twink.
All right. The other thing is, so are you still involved with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Oh, yes, sort of. I mean, yes, absolutely. But I've been on sabbatical for a long time, so I haven't done anything with them. And then COVID happened and nobody was doing anything. So I don't think I've done an event with the Sisters for at least 2 years, because it was about a year before COVID that I went on sabbatical.
Right. Well, for our listeners,
I remember going back to a meeting. Say that again.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember going back to a meeting maybe like a few weeks before COVID erupted. And so I don't know, I might have been more active. I did, as a sister a couple of months ago, was asked to kind of host an online memorial for somebody in the community that had passed away. So I did do a sister face, and another sister signed on to the internet with me for that, the online memorial as well. But other than that, I really just have not been doing much with them for a while. But yes, I am a sister, technically always a sister.
Right. So for our listeners that don't really know or understand drag, who are the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence? What do they do exactly?
The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a 21st century order of drag nuns, essentially. They started in San Francisco in 1979. No, that's just how old I am. So they started in San Francisco and became kind of like a face for, protest and fighting for queer rights and visibility. The Sisters were the first organization to put forth a pretty big like fundraiser for like HIV awareness and education and such. And that's been one of our biggest missions since the 80s is awareness for STIs and such. We dress up in like nuns. There's a bunch of different groups all over the world. Many of them have their own specific looks. The Seattle look has a kind of rounded headpiece that's inspired by like Russian Orthodox nuns. Mm-hmm. But there's all kinds of different looks, but they basically share a nun theme. And most of them also wear like clown white makeup as their base, kind of like almost a mask to separate themselves from their regular person.
Right.
So the bearded lady Jay is my drag persona, but I go by like a different name as a sister.
What is that name? If you don't mind me asking.
And yeah, that's what we do. Sister cast a spell on you, which is inspired by.
I love that.
A She-Ra obsessed child.
I love that. So obviously you're an artist, but you're also a sketch artist, and your sketch work is a NSFW rating. How did you get started doing that?
Well, when I was in high school, I was always in an art class. I was drew. But like I said, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor-singer. And so my passion focused on music and theater in school, but I did still love art. And part of me always wanted to be a comic book artist, but I never put enough like priority to it to get that good. I always kind of had a sketchbook as I was growing older. When I was, I think, 30, I started playing D&D. I'd never played it before, even though I kind of had always wanted to, but I never connected with the right people. And then I had a roommate that moved in, and a couple of weeks in, she was like, "Hey, I play D&D and they used to host at my old apartment. Would it be okay if I hosted here?" And I'm like, "Well, first of all, yes, because now it's your apartment. You don't even have to ask. But also, maybe could I try and join?" And I fell in love with it. As mentioned, I'm D&D obsessed now. Mm-hmm. But in like one of the first couple of games, the person running the game was like, "If you draw your character, you get extra points." And I'm like, "Well, I draw, kind of, right, somewhat." And I was playing a half dragon. And up till then, I had always, for the most part, just like drawn pictures of my friends, just people, regular people. Mm-hmm. But this time I was drawing something with scales and claws and wings.
Or fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. I was like, "Well, this is way more interesting than drawing people." And not long after that, I ended up moving to Burlington. I had not been working and kind of ran out of money savings and had not found a job yet in Seattle. So I moved to Burlington to live with my mom for about a year. And there wasn't much to do up there. I mean, I did find a job right away up there. But other than work, you know, there wasn't a lot of people. There certainly wasn't any gay clubs I was going out to 2 o'clock in the morning during. So I had a lot of free time. And by then, YouTube was a big thing. And I mean, YouTube had been a fit thing for a while. But when I was in high school, YouTube didn't exist. But now YouTube was everywhere, and there was tutorials for everything, including drawing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like buying drawing books, and I was watching YouTube tutorials, and I just kind of taught myself a lot. I had a lot of time to practice in that first year because I was having so much fun drawing things that were, you know, demons and sorcerers and things that were fun and magical. Right. And I just never stopped.
Now, when did the dicks start coming in?
Wait, what?
When did the giant dicks start coming in?
Yeah, the giant dicks. I am known for... So, one of my biggest art influences is a comic book artist named Patrick Fillion. Mm-hmm. He's worked for, like, all of the big, the big names, like Marvel and DC and stuff. But he also, at one point... started his own comic book production company called Class Comics and started drawing basically erotica superheroes. Mm-hmm. Half naked or often very naked and oftentimes having lots of sex. Yeah. Superhero characters with giant penises and lots of super muscles and stuff. And I've always loved that concept of like erotic comic books, and his is my favorite. And so as I was getting into it more and more, at first I was like, well, you know, I'll draw a bulge. A lot of the like big comics like Marvel and DC like emasculate their male characters to probably, you know, make their male readers not feel inferior. But I was like, fuck that shit. I want to see a bulge. And then over the years, the bulges started getting bigger and bigger. And then they just became something that you just can't show on television.
They give you
and now I'm kind of known for it. Yeah, yeah. But like, you know, people are like, "Why do you draw dicks so big? Why do you draw dicks so big?" I'm like, first of all, have you seen every single set of boobs in a comic book these days?
Needs.
All of them are inhuman. Like, literally, women would break in half with their tiny waists and their giant tits that they put on those drawings. So just because it's on a man doesn't mean it's anything different. And that's just the double standard.
Yeah.
So it's like, part of me does it because, fuck it, I'm going to fight against that double standard. But part of me does it because it's fun. Yeah. And it's my art. I'll do whatever I want. So who's going to stop me?
What you want. Obviously you're a creative person, you express yourself in a multitude of ways. What has all this creative energy taught you about yourself? Is that a weird question?
A lot of the times, I don't stress too much about like self-confidence. Life is hard and everybody's got insecurities. Yeah. But for the most part, I try to love myself a lot. But I also, I find that I will start a thing and just not feel like I'm good enough. Drag is a perfect example. Like, I would do my makeup and I'd be fine with my makeup, but I'd see other people and be like, wow, the makeup is so amazing. And I started watching Drag Race. And after a number of years of watching Drag Race, I started to realize that I knew a lot of the tricks of the trade, or I would see so many of these queens on the show doing things and I'm like, no, that's not right. Why are you doing it like that? What? And I started to think, you know, maybe I'm better at this than I'm giving myself credit for. And the same with art. Like, the first time I got a show, somebody was like, hey, do you want to be in an art show? And I'm like, I just draw penises. Like, he's like, no, I like your stuff. You could totally do it.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And I sold more in my first night at their show than they'd had any artists at that spot do yet in like the year that they'd been doing monthly shows. You know, I think that the overall, the lesson is give it a try, do it. And who cares if it's how good it is or how not good it is, just give it a try anyway. And you might surprise yourself, but don't put yourself down. Just let yourself try what you're doing.
As a Virgo, I suffer from severe perfectionism. And drag to me, I'm like entirely self-taught. I taught myself makeup, I taught myself how to do wigs, I taught myself how to like style clothes and all this stuff, and I kept learning more and more and more. I kept getting better and better and better at it, and the goal was to try out for Drag Race at some point. And I fell short of just making a video, basically. Now, the thing is like drag is fucking exhausting. Yeah. And so I was just, all of my energy was just going into this expression, and you know, it stopped being fun. Actually, when I moved to Sacramento, I ended up like, I didn't have a job for a while. And so the only money that I was making was from doing shows. And it became my job. And I was like, oh, like, this is not good. So I'm starting to resent it. And I packed it up for a little while, for, you know, 2 years or so, brought it out every once in a while. But then eventually I was like, you know what? I don't think I have any interest in this anymore. I think I want to do other things now. And I literally just packed everything up and I donated it to all the queens that I knew.
Well, the great thing about drag, I've had those moments more than once. And there was probably a time, I feel like there was a year where I only did it twice after having done it a lot. Mm-hmm. And it, the great thing is you can just do it whenever you feel like. Like, for me, drag is entirely personal. I'm not, I've never been like trying to get ready for Drag Race. I just, when I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And I like that aspect for me. I could be a regular performer, and I have been a regular performer, but I don't need to be. And so I'm not going to be, at least right now. You know, who knows what will happen down the line.
It should be easy. It shouldn't be like you're digging yourself a grave, basically.
Yeah. And for some people, it is their job, and more power to them. I don't know that I have the energy at this point in my life to do that. Yeah. But then again, who knows? It depends on how much the money is making, you know, who knows? But for now, I just like that it's just something to do when I'm feeling into it.
Yeah. So we're going to go into personal evolution here. We're going to kind of speed things up a little bit more. What is something in your past that has changed you for the better?
When I was 20, I was on a bus going home from something. I don't even know what it was. Oh, it was a gay youth group. And a boy didn't like me because I was overweight. And I liked the boy, and I was very upset about it. And I was like, well, hold on. Wait a second. I can either spend my life crying over people who aren't going to like me for my body type, or I can move away from those people and find people that are going to like me for me, including my body. And it took a while to fully believe that statement, but it was a really significant moment of understanding a path and choosing a path when I was much younger than a lot of people make that choice.
Yeah.
So that was a huge life changer to just, you know, love myself.
Yeah.
And my largesse.
Absolutely. There's a lot to love there.
Yes. I am a cuddle professional.
So we're going to go to a little bit of a downward spiral here, but what was the hardest part of your life and how have you overcome it though?
That kind of plays into the same answer of dealing with, because I was a big kid from the start. Yeah. I've always been the largest kid in school kind of a thing. And children are mean. And I didn't exactly have a great father. So fighting against bullying and other people's negativity has always been the darkest aspects of life.
We are related. But, you and my mother.
You know, it's shitty, but at the same time, I also think that I learned how to be a more empathic and sympathetic person because I experienced that kind of trauma.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. And if you met your younger self now, what would you say to them?
Ooh, why that question? Mm-hmm. I would say just keep doing what you're doing. Like you already know it's rough. You know it's going to be rough, but at a certain point, you're going to make some really great friends and keep them around. And your dad's not always going to be in the picture. But, you know, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't tell him to don't do this or don't do that. I just say, just keep going. It'll all be worth it.
Right. Oh, I want to backtrack for just one second. A quick question. This is my show. I can do that if I want.
1,000,000%.
So who is your Dungeons & Dragons character? What character do you
play?
Or do you play Maggie?
I made so many characters. It's probably the easier answer is a less specific, but okay, who should I talk about?
If you were a Dungeons and Dragons character, who would you be?
Yeah. My favorite class is Warlock. I love it. I am a bard. So when I think about, but I'm a witch, you know, and so when I think about what kind of D&D character Jesse would be, I would be a warlock bard hybrid, like multi-class. Those are the warlock is my favorite class to play. I love it. I usually run games. Like I'm usually the DM, but I was taught by DMs that also like to play a character in the game. You know, nothing important, just something secondary. Warlock is a great secondary character because you can build them to just be easy support. You know, and in combat, it's easy for the DM to play a warlock because you just blast people. That's all you have to worry about. So it's an easy, simple character to just help the party out. And I love the simplicity of it because I like to be in combat and just go blast, blast, blast. One of my most favorite characters is a warlock. I think he was the first warlock I played. He is a fawn, and he was found by the party because he was caught by slavers. And one of the characters saw my little fawn and immediately was like, oh, I want that. And he was like a freedom fighter anyway. So he bought my character to get him away from the slavers, but then was like, now you're free. Like you're not, you know, and they, you know, he stuck with the party because they had freed him and he felt a little bit of loyalty to that. And they ended up playing a really long, we played that campaign for almost 2 years. And those two characters even ended up recently getting married and everything. And he was great. My players have often fell into the place of, they don't ask a lot of questions. And so I'll bring in a character as like my character or an NPC or whatever. And they don't always ask things. And a warlock is a different class. Like no other class can just blast magic all day long. And so there would just be something random that he could do that they're like, how does he do that? Nobody does that. How does he do that? Nobody does that. I'm like, I don't know. You didn't ask. So that was always fun getting to make little surprises for them as well.
Character, every time that I've played, actually I've only played like maybe like two or three times, but I've made characters, and every time that I make characters for myself, I'm always a half elf rogue.
Rogue is a favorite. I'm literally building a rogue as of last night because somebody said, Jesse, do a thing. And I was like, okay, I'm doing the thing.
I'm always the little sneaky one going in there and opening the doors for people and stealing shit.
Lots of fun.
So we've got one last section and then one final question for you. So what is an interesting thing that people will be surprised to know about you? We've already talked about a lot, but like, what's something like that you'd be surprised to know about you? Looking around your room.
Well, the thing is I'm for the most part an open book. There's not a lot that I don't just like talk about constantly. I keep, you know, difficult emotional stuff to myself just because like I don't need to get into that kind of drama, but my good friends are all very aware of my emotional troubles. So here's a random one. I am a really good driver.
Okay.
And most people don't know that because I don't drive. but I have at times, maybe not always with a license, but like my best friend, he hates driving and is not a good driver. But there was back in like our earlier 20s, early to mid 20s, he had one of his parents' cars most of the time. And we'd mob about doing this and that. And he'd always be like, I don't want to drive, you do it. So I did a lot of driving. I did have a license for a little while. I'm a really good driver. I love to drive. I love It's one of my most butch moments. Like, for a little while, he was using his parents' Bronco. And we went camping, and I got to drive the Bronco. And I was just like, this is so hot. I didn't want to be all, like, butch man. I wanted to be, like, dressed in, like, full dominatrix drag and just, like, mob up to, like, Safeway or something in, like, 8-inch stilettos and something like... crawl out of the Bronco and like go shopping. I don't care about cars. Like, I don't care if you've got like a Mustang or a this or that, but I love to drive, and I am a good driver.
Nice.
It's random.
I actually drive for a living right now.
Oh, nice, nice. I would do that. If I had a license in a car, I would totally sign up for like Lyft or whatever. I'd love that. I'd turn my music on. I'd be listening to like oldies and 80s rock, and I would just have a blast all day long.
Welcome to my office. Here it is.
Exactly, exactly. I'd be like the singing Uber driver. Yeah, no, I would love that.
What is one thing that you are working on currently?
Mental health, actually.
Hey, sir.
The summer was really difficult. I had a lot of dark emotional things going on with both being on permanent lockdown. Like, I basically haven't left my house other than to go to the store for a year, as you know, most of us.
Yeah.
But I am an incredibly social person, and for like the first 6 months of not getting to see people was really difficult. The protests over the summer were incredibly difficult to have to like hear of all the deaths and all of the violence, all of that. I had so many friends that were right on the front line, and I'm like watching their video feeds on Facebook. And it was really, really dark. It was the most dark depression I'd ever been through in my life. And so
for a lot
after
of people,
I
felt it too, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, that whole thing. But after I got I pulled myself back out of it in like the fall and stuff, I was then like, okay, time to start seeing, like to start looking into mental health therapy. So I started seeing a therapist. I also started Zoloft, which is the first time I've ever taken an antidepressant medication. That started about a month ago. I mean, like, for the most part, like, life is okay. Mm-hmm. But sometimes life is difficult. And I decided that there's some time, or now is the time to start trying to, open up about the harder parts.
I've gone to therapy on and off for a while, and I only really clicked with one therapist, and I ended up moving away from that therapist. And the last two that I saw were like just kind of not the vibe. And but I now know I'm currently seeking a new one, as well as a psychiatrist, because I know I probably need some sort of medication to like, you know, balance things out a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, that was my exact thought.
Yeah. What do you hope to experience in your life or your future career? Or what's like something that you just hope to experience in the near future? A little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, this isn't like a big experience. It's something I've experienced before, but I miss it so much. Mm-hmm. I have not, because I can't really sing at home. Like, I can sing to myself, but I live in a duplex where people above me through a thin ceiling / floor could hear. And I don't want to like, you know, bug people with singing show tunes or whatever. I mean, I have a good voice, but that doesn't mean they want to hear the songs I'm singing. So I don't sing at home, but that was fine. There's karaoke every single night on Capitol Hill, except COVID.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to just belt out a song. And that for me is another aspect of like mental health. That's who I am. Like at the heart.
Can't if you have a heart.
Sing a song. And so I cannot wait for the opportunity to get back to a place where, like, you know, I can go up to a microphone, I can start playing music, and I can just belt out every emotion that I've had for the last year and a half.
You can't sing in the shower?
Well, it's still part of the apartment, you know.
Oh, I don't care about the shower. That's a non homogenous zone. That, like, you can sing in there.
Yeah, it doesn't change how well people can hear me, unfortunately. And I just don't want to be a disrespectful neighbor like that. And for that matter, I'm surrounded by other houses. Like, I'm in a very residential area. I can't just go outside and sing because there's houses all around me, and I don't want to bother them.
Actually. Before I got on this call with you, I had to go upstairs and tell my neighbor to turn his music down because I'm going on Zoom and I'm recording it. So I don't want his music to show up on the recording.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be that neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. We have one last question. We ask all of our guests this question, and it is, what have you manifested lately?
Well, you know, I will say I don't have a lot of money. Like, I am broke ass below the poverty line kind of level living. And that can be, yeah, in Seattle. But even in Seattle, like, my space is actually pretty cheap, yeah, for the area that I live in. But even then, I just don't have a lot of money to work with, but I think when I am in need, I put forth the kind of positive energy because I want to help my friends, mm-hmm, that when I'm in need, they help me. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is just kind of the most magical thing, being able to find the people that will take care of each other. Mm-hmm. And I have needed a lot of help. even recently I've needed a lot of help. And I've been able to find that. And that's, mm-hmm, been pretty awesome.
That's awesome. And
sometimes it means you have to light a green candle the night before you ask for that help.
Right. I get by with a little help from my friends.
Exactly.
So this is the end. I'm so happy to have gotten to catch up with you. I miss you. I'm coming to Seattle in June, so I'll be able to come see you.
I cannot wait. I would love to see you. It was so wonderful talking and, like, opening up and talking about all of these things.
Where can our listeners find you? What's your Instagram handle? And you have a Patreon too, don't you?
I do, yeah. Patreon and Instagram are both Ink and Magic, just the regular three words. And I would love to be able to come check me out. Also, my Patreon is really just because I can't put everything that's not safe for work on Facebook and Instagram. So it's just a $5 charge to see all of my dirty art.
Right. Oh, also, can people still send you nudes and get a commission piece?
Yes. Send me nudes and we can talk about free art. Yes. I might have seen your nudes and I might have been working on a drawing for you.
I'm still waiting for it. But anyways, I know it's going to be great when I do receive it. So
you'll love it, hopefully.
Well, I love you. Thank you again for doing this. And I hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And for all the people watching, thank you for having me. I've loved being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show, Starseeds. I wanted to thank our special guest, Lady J, for joining us this week on this interview. You can check the video out on YouTube, by the way. It'll be there on Monday. And yeah, I just want to wrap things up today with a quote that I had found. And this is from Osho, an Indian mystic. How much longer will you go on letting your energy sleep? How much longer are you going to stay oblivious to the immensity of yourself? Don't lose time in conflict. Lose no time in doubt. Time can never be recovered. And if you miss an opportunity, it may take many lives before another comes your way again.
Osho fo show.
Osho fo show.
What about, you know, fo show? What are things, you know, some things we're grateful for this week for fo show?
What are we grateful for? I am grateful for starting back on therapy. I'm grateful to do that.
Therapy.
Can I say I'm grateful to have insurance?
Ooh, hallelujah.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to go to therapy or see a doctor if I didn't have insurance. So I'm just grateful to have that. In fact, I actually have to send in my update of my paperwork this week. And then I'm grateful to have a sense of clarity right now. I'm grateful to have a sense of clarity right now.
Aww.
How about you?
I'm grateful for your ass, number one. I really am, because, no, you bring a lot into my life, like making me get the surgery. I don't know. I was pretending to cut it myself. Making me get the, you know, the thing to get the surgery. Kind of like putting up with me, because I realize sometimes I can just be like contrarian for no reason at all. I can just be like, I don't want to just for, and there's not even a good reason for it. And I'm just like, I don't, and you're like
just now when we were trying to figure out
just
this,
now
this link thing, I'm like, I have an option here. And you're like, no, I got to figure this out. But putting the same links
and like bringing me to Palm Springs. I'm grateful for you. I realize that
for you too.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm a great guy. But other times I'm a bit much to put up with. And like,
I have no problems.
It takes a certain type of personality. So I'm grateful that you are that type. I am grateful for the mini promotion I got at work thing. I'm grateful for that.
Hell yeah.
I need to start making commission so I can be on that, you know, upper commission thing. What else am I grateful? There's something I'm grateful for I don't want to say.
You don't want to be grateful for it?
I don't want to be grateful for it too early. Maybe it'll be on my gratitude list next week.
Yeah, I mean, law of affirmation is speaking into existence.
Hallelujah. And
I'm trying to pry it out of you.
Now I'm thinking I need something else to put there. I'm grateful to have made it through 2020 and I'm still making it now with some clarity.
Yeah.
And growth.
Yeah.
So I keep getting like,
it's all good. This is the end of the show, you guys. And thank you for tuning in. Feel free to follow us on social media. We are on Instagram at A Cosmic Journey Pod, on Twitter at A Cosmic Journ Pod. Couldn't afford the EY. Mm-hmm. I am Dimitri Wilde on Instagram and Twitter.
I am J Maceo Music on Instagram and Twitter.
And if you would like to sign up for our Facebook group, Starseed Central, you can share memes, suggest comments with news articles, and interact with us directly. And maybe you'll get a little shout out here and there.
Shout out.
Please do that.
Do that.
Join us on YouTube. You can find our Cosmic News interview videos and Jay's Cosmic Insights on Wednesdays.
Cosmic Nudes.
By the way, if you rate, share, and subscribe on the show on Apple Podcasts, we will give you a opportunity to get a free sticker. And we'll send that to you. Just screenshot your comment and your rating to us, and we will send that to you.
Merch.
For free.
333.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, hey, we're ending round on 333. Well, thanks for listening, you guys. And as always,
Godspeed, Starseeds.